Scripture says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I want you to think about that for a moment. See, I think we struggle with the concept here, that idea of submission. I have noticed throughout my ministry, many times I'll be meeting with couples that are getting married, and we'll be talking about the ceremony and, you know, what they're wanting to do and what have you. And invariably, probably the question I've been asked more than any in those situations is the word submit in the vows? There's this tremendous concern about the word submit. The word kind of evokes that knee-jerk reaction from people. I've always said a bride just before the wedding march, she looks down at what's about to unfold, and she sees the aisle, she sees the altar, and she sees him. And that becomes a motto for the marriage. I'll alter him. Ooh. All the women are clapping. The guys are like, really? Can I laugh about that, honey? We struggle with the idea of submission, and it's not just in marriage, that mutual submission, but we struggle with it in our schools, in the marketplace. The fact is, you can see it in very simple things, like how people respond to a highway yield sign, which very simply stated, a yield sign, young drivers, listen up on this. It very simply means you're to yield. But our contemporary society, yield has kind of morphed through the years. And what people now see, they see yield, they speed up. Got to beat them to the punch. Me first. We struggle with this idea of yielding because it goes against the grain. You know, especially in a society that is so meistic in its approach to things. The fact is, submission, it's something that we struggle with. Submission, in all honesty, most people do not have the slightest bit of interest in. You know, we're finishing up our series, DNA. We've been looking at our God-given DNA as Christians and as a church. And we talked about the rule that guides all of our DNA, that God-given DNA that we have. And that rule is we treat each other the way God's treated us. And that we're never to lose the awe of God's invitation, what God's done for us through Jesus Christ. And it's that rule that will guide us, that will keep us growing and developing, both as a Christian and as a church. It's that rule that compels us to forgive one another, accept one another. It's that rule that will summon us to carry one another's burdens, encourage one another. And as we're going to discover today, it's going to challenge us to submit to one another. So church, Christians, we are called by God to submit to one another. We are called by God to yield to one another. And basically that means that somebody else's thing is more important than your thing. Our mentality as Christians should be other people are more important. And here's the problem with that. I don't want to do it. And neither do you. I mean, in short, this kind of strikes at the core of my selfishness. I mean, I do not want to put you before me. And I don't blame you for not wanting to put me before you. I mean, I don't blame you on this one either. The fact is, we have this fear. We have a fear that somebody's going to take advantage of us. Somebody's going to walk all over us. And so what we do, we kind of withdraw from this idea. We kind of have this idea, well, what if it's a one-way street? And so everything in me resists that. I mean, if I'm going to submit, to someone, I'm going to look at their character. I'm going to look at their leadership. I'm going to look at their ethics, their decision-making ability. And then after some evaluation, I may submit to them. Or I may do some evaluation and come to the conclusion that they are not worth submitting to. In which case, we now have a problem. Submit to one another. There's a lot at stake here. It's like the story, I think I've shared this before, but it's a story of the captain that's captaining a ship. It's midnight, it's dark, he can't see, and the captain sees a light off in the distance. And so he goes to his signalman and has him send a message. Alter your course 10 degrees to the south. Message comes back. Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. The captain, he's pretty angry at this point. So he sends a second message. He says, alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I am a captain. Message comes back. Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I'm a seaman, third class. And for those that don't know rank, that's way down here and captain's way up here. All right. Now the captain's really mad. Sends a third message. He says, alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I am a battleship. He gets a reply, alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I'm a lighthouse. We struggle with submitting. Paul is going to come along. Have you noticed how Paul's kind of insensitive to the issues that are involved in things? Paul comes around and he says, submit to one another. The motivation is not based on whether or not I consider somebody worthy of submitting to. No, Paul's going to say the motivation is based on our reverence for Jesus Christ. See, we're going back to the rule that we talked about at the very beginning. And it's an imperative that we catch the basic rule here. Our behavior toward one another is to be governed by the way that God has treated us. Not the way we deserve to be treated, but the way God's treated us. And here's the question we're going to kind of tackle today. What does the reverence for Jesus Christ have to do with the way that we treat each other? Now, I want to ask a very simple question. How many of you have a reverence for God? Come on, let's see hands. All right, how many of you have a reverence for Jesus Christ? See, when you get into our heads, to our way of thinking, I think we go, oh, I'm good on this one. I mean, I don't use the Lord's name in vain. I don't tell certain jokes. I don't even stack anything on top of my Bible. You know, I have a reverence. In fact, I could give you all kinds of indicators in my life of evidence that I show reverence for God. But God comes along and says, look at the way you treat each other. And we're thinking, well, that doesn't have anything to do with it, does it? I mean, I might stumble as a husband. Might not always respect my parents. Sometimes I'm not a good employee. Sure, I've got a few problems, but I do not have a problem showing reverence and respect for God. And God steps in and says, oh, yes, you do. There's a term that's used in DNA. It's double helix. It's that shape that two linear strands of DNA, they kind of assume when they're bonded together. In fact, on the wall, that's a double helix. On the wall, it creates that kind of twisted pattern because they're bonded together. They're working with each other. Christians, church, we are bonded together in Jesus Christ, and it is a spiritual bond. We're bonded together. I'm bonded to you, you're bonded to me, and we're bonded to Jesus Christ, and it really is kind of a spiritual double helix. The way we treat each other is connected to our reverence for God and our respect for God. It's a bond, it can't be taken apart. It's how I treat God and how I treat others. It's intertwined. It's a spiritual double helix. And this, I know, is a difficult principle. In fact, this is a difficult passage because it strikes at the core of who I am. It strikes at my selfishness, my self-centeredness in life. The idea of putting you before me, the idea of putting your needs before my needs, becomes very difficult. It's not easy. But Christians, faith fellowship, we are called by God. It is part of our God-given DNA that we are to submit to one another. We've got to get this. We have to get this one. And I know it's not the kind of thing you put on a plaque. You don't put it up on a poster. Nobody's got it on their desktop. Submit to one another. Because it's not popular. We tend to skip over passages like this. We tend to see them as outdated. We look at it and we think, oh, that's old-fashioned. You know, what's that all about? And Paul, he's going to begin expanding here. He says, do nothing for selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but the interests of others. We talked about this a little bit in our Happy series, but Paul's expanding. You know, how are we going to submit to one another? It's if I'm going to put you before me, how do I do that? You know, Paul's not saying that other people are better, but Paul's saying, hey, look at the person on your left. You know, look at the person on your right. You know, look at the person sitting in front of you. Look at the person sitting behind you. I mean, look at the person that comes to church. Look at the person that you serve with in ministry. You know, look at those individuals. And Paul says, I want you to view all of those people as more important. I want you to treat them better than you would treat yourself. And when you begin to consider others better, friends, it makes a huge difference in your relationships with each other. And it makes a difference in your relationship with God. I want you to think of someone that you respect, all right? That you really respect. Maybe it's a business leader. Maybe it's a politician. Maybe it's a teacher. A mentor, maybe it's a sports star, I don't know. Just think of someone that you respect. You go, you know what, I really respect them. All right, has everybody got somebody? All right. If they were seated next to you this morning, would you treat them different than other people? In other words, would you be like extra kind to them? Would you let them go first? You know, would you make sure that they met a few people? You know, would you knock yourself out to make them make sure that they were comfortable? See, there's something in you when you have that kind of respect that you feel like they're just a little bit more important, right? I've always admired Billy Graham. I think he's an amazing guy for lots of reasons. But if he was here this morning, there is nothing that I would not let him have first, period. You know why? It's a respect deal. Paul is saying, treat each other like you would treat the person that you consider more important. They're not really more important, but you're to treat them that way. And I want you to think about, if you had that attitude in your life, if everybody had that attitude, can you imagine how it would affect your home? Can you imagine for a moment how that would change the environment that you work in? Can you imagine how it would change things at the club or at school or this morning here at church? Friends, I am convinced that it would transform things into a whole nother realm, and no matter what area you were talking about, it would change things, wouldn't it? Paul is making that point. Consider others first. And I thought, you know, in some ways it's almost impractical, isn't it? Can you imagine this morning, we're in service this morning, and we all decide, you know what, I'm letting other people go first. And so after service, we have prayer, everybody's heading out, and you get to the doors. You go, no, you go first. No, you go first. No, nope, you go first. Nope, you go first. Can you imagine this? I mean, somebody got to go first. The fact is, got ahead. Oh, you're more important. You need to get to your car first. In fact, I'll carry you to your car. You're so important. We all get to our cars. Nobody wants to back out. Why? Because, well, go ahead. Just go. Go ahead. Go for it. Go on. I'll wait. Go on. And it almost becomes impractical to treat others as more important. I mean, why would we do such a thing? And Paul's going to give us some powerful reasons why we should be about this. You know, Paul says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. In the Greek, that's an imperative. It's a command. Consider others more important. Christians, it's in your God-given DNA. It's something that Jesus has already done in his life. It says, let the same mind be with you that's in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. I want you to think about it. Jesus, he comes down from heaven. He comes to this earth. Jesus is God in the flesh. And Jesus never pulled rank on anybody. Jesus sets his personal comfort aside to fulfill what God had called him to do in this world. I mean, I want you to think about it. Jesus, at some point, could have said, you know what, enough's enough. I created this world, I'm God, I'm in charge, and we're not going there. He could have done that at any point in his life on this planet. He could have played the trump card, I call it. Ha! Got you. I'm God, you know. That would have changed things. I mean, Jesus lays aside his rank for the sake of something greater. Scripture says, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born into human likeness, and being found in human form. Jesus took all of his rights, he lays them aside, and he becomes a servant. Think about that. I wonder if anybody ever asked me, you know, Jesus, what are you here for? I'm here to serve. Jesus had every right to be served, didn't he? He had every right in the world to demand anything that he wanted. But Jesus sets it aside. He becomes a servant. And so when you read the Gospels, you find Jesus and he's healing people. He's helping people. He's feeding people. He's even washing the feet of people. Jesus had all this power. And what's he do? He serves people. You know, Jesus never turns stones into gold. He never does anything for himself. Jesus serves other people. Why? Because he had a mission. And he had a purpose in his life. And you go, well, how far do you go with this? How far did he go? Well, it says he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. What kind of death? Well, we all die, right? This isn't just any death. He's going to die a death on a cross. Jesus deserves respect. He deserves honor. But Jesus puts it on hold. Jesus makes himself a servant. He subjects himself to Roman authority, Jewish authority. Jesus allows himself, think about this, he allows himself to be crucified on a cross. And you think, why would he do that? He wanted a relationship with humanity. He wanted a relationship with you. He wanted a relationship with me. And he was willing to do whatever was needed to accomplish that. See, Jesus could have showed up as God in this world. He could have let us die for our own sins and be condemned for them. Or he could take all of his rights and put him on hold and become a servant and die on the cross for our sins. But Jesus could not do both things. Friends, if we would ever let the understanding of that really get into our heads and get into our hearts, it would transform lives and communities, and it would transform this world. I mean, it's a new way and a new day. God-given values, God-given priorities, God-given DNA. And what you find is Jesus is prioritizing in his life. You know, how valuable is it that I get recognition? Well, I think Jesus would say, it's pretty valuable. It's important. How valuable is it that I pay for the sins of humanity? How valuable is it that I make a relationship with God possible? Jesus prioritizes. He says, you know what? The sin problem takes priority over me getting my rightful respect. See, rights, respect, honor, not on Jesus' agenda at that point. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's part of our God-given DNA. It's a bond that pulls us together. It changes what we think. It changes how we act and treat each other. It changes the value that you place on things. It changes the value you place on the person sitting to your right now. It changes the value you place on the person on your left, the person in front of you, the person behind you. It changes the value you put on the person that cut you off right before you got to church today. It changes the value that you put on your neighbors. It changes the value that you put on your spouse, on your children, on your parents. It changes all of that. And friends, there are incredible consequences that are at stake. See, people, whoever they are of incredible value. Jesus considered your deal more important than his deal. Jesus considered your issue more important than his issue. And so Jesus stood at the door and he says, you know what? You go first. I'll wait. If that person sitting next to you is that valuable to God, that Jesus would set everything aside and become a servant? Friends, I'll be honest with you. Who do we think we are? That we demand our way our rights, our rank, our recognition at the expense of relationships. See, when we submit to one another, we show reverence. We show respect for our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a God-given design. I want to challenge you. What do you think would happen if we begin to think that way as Christians and as a church? You know, think of that person. And you might be going, well, God, they're not worth respecting. I don't think she's worth it. But God, if they're that valuable to you, then they're going to be that valuable to me. See, it changes things. When you treat me as more important than you, when I treat you as more important than me, it's a reverence for Christ and it's a reverence for God. It's a bond. It's a new perspective. It's a new way to live. I mean, what if you began to see your spouse that way? I mean, what if you began to see your coworkers or your boss or your employees that way? I mean, what if you began to see your neighbors that way? In fact, what if you just began seeing everybody that way? Now, the next part of Scripture, it's kind of mind-boggling, but it is core. It's core in terms of the Christian life and how we live. See, after Jesus is humiliated, goes through all that he goes through, and he ends up dying on the cross, Scripture says, therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that's above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee would bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let me ask just a simple question. Has every knee bowed and every tongue confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord? Has he? No. Now, don't miss this. Even today, right now, Jesus waits. He continues to forego the glory, continues to forego the honor, the respect that is due to him. And do you know why? Because he wants a relationship with you more than he wants anything else. He wants a relationship with everyone. You know, the Bible says one day Jesus will show up in all of his glory. And when he shows up in all of his glory, the Bible says that unbelievers and believers, pagans, atheists, everybody on this planet, doesn't matter who you are, everybody's going to hit the deck. Everybody will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. It is going to be so evident the day that happens. It is going to be so obvious to everyone. And what's going to happen in that moment? Finally, Jesus will receive what he had coming to him all along, glory and credit and respect, and it's all due to him. And it will happen like that. But he holds off. And then I think about my life. I mean, friends, almost every day, I sacrifice relationships for the sake of getting my way. I hurt people's feelings. I can easily develop that kind of mentality that says, just deal with it. I mean, sure, I want to be a nice guy. But if I am not careful, I can become the center of my universe. And it can happen very rapidly. Jesus, on the other hand, he waits. He waits. He waits to receive his dues because of his love, because of his concern, because of his compassion for everyone. When I submit to you, again, whether you deserve it or not, when I do that, when I view you as more important than me, I'm showing reverence and respect for Jesus Christ and God. Now, I know some of you you're not connected with God yet. You know, you're not a Christ follower at this point. I mean, some of you have been moving in that direction. Some of you have been attending Faith Fellowship for a while. You know, asking a lot of questions, good questions, trying to figure out where God fits in your life. I know some of you reading your Bible, even praying. But you've not taken the step to make Jesus Christ Savior and Lord of your life. And I just want to challenge you this morning. Do not put it off any longer. You don't have to have it all figured out. Because at any moment, Jesus may stand up and go, okay, it's time, I'm coming back. But right now, he's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for you to take the step. Waiting for everyone to take that step. And I'll be glad to talk to you after service, pray with you after service. You know, just take the step. You know, we've been looking at the God-given DNA, that stuff that's in us as Christians, because we are Christ followers. You know, we're to forgive one another. We're to accept one another. We're to care for one another, carry burdens for each other. We're to encourage one another. We're to submit to one another. This is the stuff we do as Christ followers. But it is not how you become a Christ follower. You know, getting into the family of God, becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, it's really pretty simple. It's putting your faith, putting your trust in Jesus and what he did for you. You know, accepting him as Savior and Lord of your life. It's trusting that Jesus did die, that he did pay the price for your sins. And because of that, by just accepting, you can have a relationship with God all of a sudden. See, goodness isn't an issue here. Never has been. Saved by faith. Not works. Saved by faith. So I want to wrap up this submission thing, of course, because I know every time I have spoken on the topic, what happens is people run up to me and they'll go, well, how far do you take it? Because I got this situation and I don't think, you know, and they'll have whatever. How far do you go with it? And I'll say the same thing I've said for 30 years, as far as you possibly can. And when you finally hit the wall and you don't think you can do it anymore, you need to take that up with God. But if you're going to err, I'd challenge you, err on the side of submission. Not selfishness. Not, oh, I need my way. Err on the side of standing at that door way too long. And just a little bit longer. Err on the side of giving up your spot in line. Err on the side of letting your husband or your wife have their way. Err on the side of submission. Because Christians, church, it is part of our God-given DNA. It's what God has placed in us. You know, we're to follow the example of Jesus Christ. We're to follow his example, you know, that he has lived and given us. We're to look at that principle and take it as far as we can possibly take it. You know, Jesus took it all the way to the cross. Christians, we are to submit to one another. It's the attitude we're to have, not because someone's worth submitting to, but we're to submit out of reverence and respect for Jesus Christ and God. See, it changes everything. I mean, can you imagine if you were in a family and everybody in the family sees everyone as more important? I'd like to be in a family like that. Can you imagine being in a church where everybody thought that way? Can you imagine the testimony in this world if news got around, they said, you know what, at Faith Fellowship, you're the most important. See, we're to forgive one another. We are to accept one another. We're to care for one another. We're to encourage one another. We are to submit. Why? Because it's in our God-given DNA, because God created us for that. God has called us to that. And God expects that of us. See, I believe we can do that at Faith Fellowship. If we just remember what God has done for us, if you just remember that amazing grace that you experienced when you finally bent a knee to God, if you just remember what we believe, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you. You created fearfully and wonderfully. And God, I pray that we'd just be true to the DNA you've put in us as a church and as Christians. That God, everything that we do, that we would move in light of what you've done for us. God, I pray that we would be that church. I pray that we would be a testimony in this community and in the world. God, I pray that we would live that out in our lives, that we would transform the environments and the worlds that we live in, that might change our neighborhoods, might change our schools, might change our office or the work side. It would change our families. God, I pray we would live in light of your grace and your love. God, help us to be that. Give us the strength and the courage to take that step. God, help us to serve one another. God, we just give you the glory and the praise this day and every day. God's people said, just remain seated. See, I think it's possible for us to live out the DNA things that we've talked about if we just remember what God done for us through Jesus Christ, and we remember what we believe. And so just to kind of get us on the same track, I want you to remember what you believe and just listen to this.